Hey, Mark here. I just wanted to give you a quick heads up. So while recording this episode, we had some pretty major technical difficulties, and the audio on this episode is not up to the normal movies, films, and flicks par. However, Doug and I had a wonderful conversation about zombies and movies. We had a fun tournament. We talked about just every zombie in cinema you could possibly think of. So it's a lot of fun. So just please excuse the audio, enjoy the episode, and we hope you enjoy. And once again, sorry for the recording. But yeah, enjoy. We'll see you next week. Thanks. Welcome to Movies, Films, and Flicks. I am Mark Hoffmeyer, and joining me is Doug Syracuse Bremen.
I like that.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about zombies, and you got Tallahassee, Columbus, Wichita, all those people in Zombieland, so I'm like, might as well give them that. I forgot to give myself a name, though. I don't have a nickname. I guess I would just be Sheboygan or Milwaukee.
I think you would be the thank you guy or the thanks.
Thanks. Right? Mark, thanks.
Thanks.
Where are you from? Thanks. So what he's talking about is we worked together at Comic-Cons for years. And while we were working together, we're both, like Doug and I, were also big movie fans. So I brought him in for this impromptu zombie tournament. And this is going to be tough. This is really going to hurt us, isn't it?
Yeah. You've got to start making some tough decisions down the road. It's like the 10 movies we picked are great zombie movies in and of themselves. They all have their like good points, maybe some not good points as far as like following the story and characters and the actors. But as a general rule, every single movie that we're going to talk about is a great movie, and it's about zombies.
I love, and so we know that there are hundreds of zombie movies, and there are zombie TV shows, Santa Clarita Diet. There is Kingdom on Netflix, which I love. I mean, there's Walking Dead. How can I even forget that? And then the spinoff that I stopped watching. What's the spinoff of Walking Dead? Man, I don't even remember the name of it. But yeah, so you have all the, like, just so many. I mean, you even have White Zombie from back in the day with the kind of voodoo zombies. We're not including that in this one. We're just going to start with 10 movies. And so I'm going to read these 10 movies out. So we're going to, right now, what we're going to do is we're going to have a tournament. We're going to see who's the winner. Doug and I are going to talk about our favorite zombies, our, like, what scares us the most, what would be the biggest pain in the butt to deal with. So the 10 movies we picked are Zombieland, Return of the Living Dead, Resident Evil, Paul W.S. Anderson's film, video game adaptation, Dawn of the Dead, the remake. Then we have Shaun of the Dead, Warm Bodies, 28 Days Later, World War Z, Train to Busan, and 1968's The Night of the Living Dead. And what I love about these is, I think we fell into, while researching all these zombies, they're all different. I don't think we have any here that are the same. Do you? Like, they're all very different.
Yeah. It's funny because, we're going to talk about the original Night of the Living Dead and how the storyline is how to deal in all these movies. How do you deal with that threat? Mm-hmm. And I feel like as we look at these movies, you're going to see that, you know, some of those movies, the zombies are terrifying. They're just, they're dangerous. They pose a threat to everyone. And then in some of them, like, I'll just give you a perfect example, Shaun of the Dead. It's more of, they're just there as part of the story.
Yeah.
And they're different from the ones in Night of the Living Dead. And that's different from World War Z. So it's going to be interesting to talk about the differences of these movies, but at the same time, I did some research, did a lot of little known facts, and really you can trace a lot of this back to that original Romero Night of the Living Dead. That was basically the starting point. And you look at all these movies, somewhere in there you can see the influence of Romero's original classic.
I teach film studies. Well, I haven't since the pandemic, but I'll go back to it. But they, what I love about Night of the Living Dead 68 is how they were winging it. Like Romero and crew, they didn't know. And Romero's not a micromanager. So he told a lot of the zombies, hey, just do your thing. Like, do what you think you should do. In the beginning of the movie, right, when her brother, they're coming to get you, Barbara, is attacked. That guy runs and picks up a rock. And you don't see that later on, because then they just become these slow-moving zombies. So that movie changes its rules. Because they didn't, they were just a bunch of Pittsburgh people making a movie on the cheap. And so that movie, you know, alongside, I mean, like, I know White Zombie came before it, but we're just saying that, like, Night of the Living Dead 68 really influenced what was to come. And what that they influenced it by just being kind of loosey-goosey into what zombies are. And I love that, that these people just say, yeah, that looks fine. And now that's what we have 50 years later. I mean, more than that. Like, it's just, it blows my mind and I love it.
Yeah, and, you know, when we get to Night of the Living Dead and we talk about, you know, like, oh, maybe some little-known facts about that, it's going to transition to a lot of what we came up with as far as how are we going to rate these zombie movies, you know, because if you go just on one subjective thing, we're not doing what's the scariest zombie movie, or we're not doing what is the zombie movie that's had so much social commentary on the United States. We're doing an overall, which one of these is the best? Overall, considering maybe it has some strengths here and some weaknesses here, but in reality, they're all, like I said, they're all great movies.
So I came up with a list, and I want to see what you think about this. I came up with two lists, but I'll read one now, and then I'll read one after the break. But okay. I came up with my list of, so I had long-term dealing with them, and I had short-term dealing with these things. And this is going to sound crazy to some people, but you want to read my short-term zombies that I, from ranking from 1 to 10 that I would not want to mess with to, I like, 1 is the worst, 10 is the best. They're all terrible, right? It's all the end of the world. But here's, like, number 1's the ones I would not want to run into. Do you want to hear the ranking?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so I got, and this isn't our tournament. I just want to let you know where I stand with these movies. So I, at first, 28 Days Later, we'll get into that later, but these are things, number 1, I don't want them the day of. Like, so when this thing starts, I don't want them anywhere near me. These are the last things I want in a zombie apocalypse. Then I have Return of the Living Dead, World War Z, I have Dawn of the Dead, Train to Busan, Zombieland, Resident Evil, Warm Bodies, Shaun of the Dead, and the Night of the Living Dead. So if anything broke out, I would want it to be the Night of the Living Dead zombies. The most. I feel like I would have a better chance getting out of a city with them than I would with the 28 Days Later. And now listen, we're being very loose with our term zombies. I just want everyone to know this. If you're throwing stuff at the wall, we have zombies in air quotes. It's viral zombies. It's you know, the hell is full, so they're brought back, or an asteroid comes by. We're being very loose with that term here. But yeah, so those are my 10. Because, I don't know, I just, those 28 Days Later zombies, the way they spit blood and the way it can gets in you and you turn immediately... That's, in World War Z, they can spit on you, but you don't really turn. You have to get bit. Jerry proves that later on. So they're less frightening than me automatically.
Yeah, because that zombie, that was like another little known fact that once we get into talking about that scene where Brad Pitt's fighting off the zombie and the zombie kind of like bleeds on him. And his first reaction as the main character in the story is to make sure his family's safe. So he runs to the edge of the building and he's thinking like, is it going to hit me? Am I infected? And he's saying, if I do get infected, because he knows the approximate incubation period, he's going to jump to save his family.
Jerry's the best, isn't he? Jerry in World War Z, played by Brad Pitt. He's the best. I love that guy.
And I think he has the best solution to any zombie problem in that he tries to, educate himself.
He
tries to like come up with a plan, and ultimately he learns through, you know, traveling the world and trying to find out how everyone's dealing with this, which is related to the book, but it obviously isn't the same as the book. You know, his job is to figure out the solution to the zombie problem.
I love it.
And it, you know, it's interesting because if I think of like Brad Pitt and Troy, I think of this like athletic heroic guy. But in that movie, it's not like Brad picks up a machine gun and starts mowing down the army and that saves the day. That's not what saves the day. What saves the day is him doing research and getting that knowledge to be able to defeat this threat. I like to call them threats only because, you know, there's a lot of threats and there's a lot of things in this world that can hurt you. And the zombies in and of themselves pose, depending on the movie, depending on the director, pose different levels of threat to us. And I agree with you. Night of the Living Dead, back in the day was terrifying to me. However, you watch it now and you're like, I'm in good shape. I could outrun all those zombies. I would make it. You know, I would make it in that world.
Especially the 98 version or 90 version where Barbara is a completely different character and she's just saying to everybody, we can walk around them. And she walks outside and just starts walking around them.
Yeah, and she's problem solving like Jerry did in World War Z. It's not enough just to have a bunch of guns and take these things out. It's really more important about, like, every one of these movies, people are trying to come up with a solution to the problem, and some are successful, and some are really not.
Are you ready to get into this tournament?
Absolutely, man. I'm ready.
All right, so we picked 10. 16's way too much. We've done that before, and we've had to split it up into two episodes. So we just said, let's do 10, which means some of them have to go an extra round before making it in. So some get a little bit of a bye, some don't. But I put these 10 into a random bracket generator, and they spit out what we have here. Because you and I both decided it would be totally objective to figure out the rankings. So I just said, let it fly. I mean, there's going to be a winner anyway. So I put them in, and the random generator, they generated a random bracket, and this is what we have. So the first round, right, we have Zombieland, oof, versus Return of the Living Dead. Now, at first glance, man, I was like, this is a home run. But then I started thinking about Zombieland 2, and it got a lot different for me. I don't know if you had that same reaction.
You know, I don't want to sound biased here, but I am such a big fan of Return of the Living Dead that to me, it was easier for me to pick that round than I think some of the other rounds or the matchups that I see in this bracket. So for me, it was a little bit easier because I have sort of a love-hate relationship with Return of the Living Dead.
Oh, got it. So, like, for me, though, with these zombie lands, I mean, so they said that these things were like, well, mad cow became mad person, became mad zombie. It's a fast-acting virus that left you with a swollen brain, a raging fever. It made you hateful, violent, and gave you a really, really, really bad case of the munchies. So that's what Jesse Eisenberg says as Columbus. And they're deadly enough in the first one. They run. They have some level of intelligence. But in the second one, we learn that in the years following, there's homers. So they're the dumbest variation, and they're capable of running. The next are the Hawkings. They're a much smarter variant of zombie, possessing a degree of problem-solving to get their next meal. So they know how to bash a window. They know how to go around another corridor. Then you have the ninjas. A much faster and stealthier variant of zombie is the ninja. Though not very durable, they make up for it in speed and ambush tactics. That's the last thing you need with the zombie, is it knowing ambush tactics. Jeez Louise. And then you have the T-800s. A much more powerful zombie comes in the form of the T-800. Unlike the typical zombies, T-800s can take much more abuse and are so named after the series 800 Terminator. So, obviously, you can still kill all of them by shooting them in the brains. You can take them out. But that just added a wrinkle for me. These aren't just fast zombies. These things are learning through the years. And so even though, you know, the Return of the Living Dead zombies and, what did they get injected with? They're, 245 Trixium? Trioxin?
Yeah.
And so you have, listen, I think it's Return of the Living Dead that's going to move through just because they're unkillable. But the zombie land zombies will put up a fight, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny that you talked about it. I didn't find anything related to, as far as if Return of the Living Dead had in any way inspired Zombieland, because obviously directors, they go to these other movies and they're like, man, I really like that part of their story regarding zombies.
Mm-hmm.
And because Return was really the first movie that featured running, sprinting zombies.
Yeah.
Before that, we didn't have that.
Yep.
And I feel like, you know, it's funny that, you know, when you talked about little known facts, I did some research, and one of my favorite scenes in Zombieland is when they go to Bill Murray's mansion.
Yeah.
I love that from start to finish. But I found out, did you know this, that Patrick Swayze was almost considered to play that cameo?
Oh, that'd have been beautiful.
Could you imagine? And as it was written up for the information I read, originally their plan was somebody was going to find the potter's wheel and sit down, you know, just at the thing, and that the zombie Patrick Swayze was going to come from behind like they did in the movie Ghost.
Oh, that would have been beautiful.
That was going to be the pun, was somebody sitting at this pottery thing looking at it, and then Patrick Swayze comes up and just like Ghost romantically sort of embraces that person.
Oh, that'd be terrifying. That's terrifying and hilarious at the same time.
And that's really what I like Zombieland for, is because it had this sort of lighthearted comic feel to it, and they tried to get a lot of laughs out of some of the things that the zombies were doing. And I like that because Shaun of the Dead, probably not the scariest zombie movie we have on the list, but everything worked perfect.
Perfect.
I mean, that movie, it was just, they did a really good job writing that and directing it. I felt like I was entertained from start to finish when I watched that.
So I guess for me, we all know that Zombieland was a much larger success than Return of the Living Dead. But I just love the story about how John Russo and George A. Romero, they had a dispute over their sequel, the sequels to the 1968 film, The Night of the Living Dead. So they just said, we'll do what we want. So they split up, and that's where Return of the Living Dead came. And, you know, the punks versus the zombies. You have Tar Man, who played by Alan Trotman, just a beautiful zombie. I mean, I just love, I don't know, he just wants brains and call more cops. And so I think we should give the win to Return of the Living Dead because it had that comedy and it had just the meta humor and the fun to it. And it talked about, you know, Night of the Living Dead. It said that was a real thing. And they said that Trixium is what caused all that, or Trioxin. I keep calling it the wrong thing. My apologies. I keep thinking Trixie with the crazies, and it just keeps going wrong. But what do you think? So Return of the Living Dead should move on, correct?
I think Return of the Living Dead should move on. And if we talked about ranking them, and, you know, so I kind of wrote some notes down about each of the movies, and I felt like Return, and got to remember, I was a kid when I watched it, and it terrified me. And I really didn't catch, as a younger person, some of the comedy that was there, because I was too busy being terrified of the fact that, you know, in most of these zombie movies, in fact, all of them, I can't think of one, and correct me if I'm wrong, we don't actually see the zombies coming out of the ground. In Return, we did. And to me, that creeped me out more than anything, was the fact that in most of the zombie apocalypses, you get a bite, you either fast get it or slow get it, but you were walking around. And Return took them tunneling out of their coffin to come up and break out of the dirt. That, to me, brought a level of fear and creepiness that I've never been creeped out by another zombie movie as much as that one affected me back in the day because of all those reasons.
And they feel pain. They need brains for pain. It's when they have that thing strapped down to the table. It's kind of a touching moment. It's freaky, but it just, there's so many little wrinkles to them. And just the way it bites heads wide open, just gnaws on skulls. Those are some teeth on it. Ugh.
Yeah, that was it was interesting. you know, some of the special effects in Return were like way beyond what you saw, for obvious reasons, in Night of the Living Dead. Like in Night of the Living Dead, if you watch that, the original or even the remake, you know, I just felt like Return just did it for me. I don't know. I can't explain it any other way that it just terrified me when I was younger. For all the reasons that we talk about, like some zombies are walking and I feel like I could outrun them and I'd have a chance. But when you're talking about being surrounded by a group of those zombies that can trick people into sending more backup in, and you can't outrun them and you can't kill them. Mm-mm. But they also had a point that, you remember the scene where Spider and, gosh, I can't think of the guy's character name in the movie right now, but the guy that hits Tar Man and knocks his head off.
Yeah, yeah.
So remember when they're in there and they see the cop car and they decide that they're going to fight their way through them and get to the cop car and then pull up and take the other two out? Mm-hmm. When they come out that door and they start swinging things, these zombies are actually afraid to get hit. You can see that they're backing up and away from them. So the fact that they still have that cognitive brain function is huge, because they're getting cut in half. They're still moving. They, you know, get cut into little pieces. They're still moving, trying to advance. But when they come out with just blunt weapons and they're swinging it at them, those zombies are afraid to get hit.
Yeah.
That's kind of a weakness that I got from that movie with these zombies, was like, hey, if they're afraid to get hit with a baseball bat, you might have a chance. Because they
just don't burn them.
Yeah, exactly. Don't burn them. That does not solve the problem.
No, that's a great point. I mean, these things, and it shows that they're smart enough to not want to get hit. It's interesting. Like, a lot of these zombies don't think. They'll walk off cliffs. I mean, they're like lemmings. They actually do that to them in Zombieland 2. So, yeah. It's a great point. So they're moving on to the next round. And our next matchup, actually, here, real quick, let's take a quick break. We'll throw in an ad, and then we come back. We'll talk more zombies. We'll be right back. All right, we're backing on to the next round here. So we have Resident Evil, right? Paul W. Anderson's Resident Evil, based on the very, very, very popular video game. We have Resident Evil versus the Dawn of the Dead remake from 2004. So the Dawn of the Dead remake, it made buku bucks. It was Zack Snyder directed. You know, the music was excellent. The zombies were fast. It in no way tried to make any say about consumerism. It's just a splashy, saturated, bloody zombie gore fest with a lot of humor and people getting chainsawed. And the beginning is an excellent scene. But then we have Resident Evil, which released the T-Virus. So in the beginning, I was just thinking about the Resident Evil zombies themselves from the 2002 movie. But then I remember that in the T-Virus. I mean, that thing is responsible for, zombie crows. You have the Axeman. You have the Magini undead. You have the Super undead. You have the Las Pelagas undead. You have the Capepio, the dragon. You have the Lickers, the Uber Lickers, Tyrant, Nemesis. So this T-Virus is out there, and there are zombies. And I put it relatively low on my list because it didn't seem... The first night, the zombies are pretty slow. You don't see a lot of the Lickers yet. So I felt like I could maybe get out of there. But the longer this thing goes on, you're going to have dragons. Undead dragons. You're going to have these... Remember in the third one in Afterlife when there were the jumpsuit zombies that popped out of the storage container and just ripped everybody to shreds? These things learn, and they get smarter, and they have cognitive abilities. But it's just the X factor of the T-Virus. Now, these Dawn of the Dead zombies, man, they don't have any weaknesses like some of the ones do in World War Z or Train to Busan or a couple other movies. These things are just mean. They seem to hold up for a long time. I mean, a month went by, and they're still running and killing. So somehow their tissues are holding up. And I think in Night of the Living Dead, they said they can last up to 13 years, something like that, and later on in the series. So they're pretty mobile. They don't know how to bash glass, though. So, for my vote, we'll see what you think. And you can sway me, but I'm moving our Resident Evil zombies because just of the X factor of the T-Virus.
I hope this doesn't hurt my opinion, your opinion of me, but I actually thought Dawn of the Dead was... The remake was better, and the reason that I rated it like that was because, much like Return of the Living Dead, when I went to watch the Dawn of the Dead remake, as much as this sounds bad, I like to be scared, and I felt like Dawn of the Dead scared me, and I thought Resident Evil, to me, was more of like an action movie,
The
threat that they faced was zombies, and so... I felt like Dawn of the Dead was true horror, splatterfest, all that, and I felt like Resident Evil to me, if I watched those back when I was younger, I would think that Resident Evil was cool, and I would think Dawn of the Dead is scary. That was my take on it, and, you know that George Romero said he was actually impressed with that film, even though it was a remake of a film he did? He actually liked the remake, at least... Well, the World Wide Web said that. I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, it's one of the rare horror movie remakes that has a fresh tomato meter score. I mean, I saw it in a packed theater in Houston, man, with at least 1,000 people. What feels like 1,000 people. Everyone cheered. It was a crowd pleaser. I think the people who didn't like it, and I don't know what your thoughts about this, but Dawn of the Dead, we did an episode on the podcast. That movie's all about consumerism. And while these people are locked inside a mall while the world's going to crap. So... Romero had a message in that one. This one didn't, and a lot of people didn't like that. But as far as a splatter picture with just splat and zombie babies and random shootouts and chainsaws and a horrible mean ending and girls that can leap up in the air crazily and cool car shots and good music, yeah, it succeeds, man. So I don't think any less of you at all.
All right, yeah, because I figured that we wouldn't be 10 for 10 would have been, I think, a pipe dream. Like, yeah. If we all agreed on which one, we'd have a little bit of disagreement between, you know, how we rated these brackets and who should move forward. So can I try to convince you right now that I think Dawn should move forward, and you tell me if I convinced you or not?
All right, yeah. If you can convince me, I'll go right, with
so
it.
Actually, when I watched this movie and the research I did, the screenwriter was a James Gunn, and he basically said that the virus was like a vampire bite. So what that means to me is that, like, you get bitten by a vampire, you turn into a vampire. You get bitten by a zombie, you turn into a zombie. And I know that, and this is something that we should probably talk about too, is sometimes the movies are inconsistent. You know, like, they want to talk about that it's a virus, but then somebody's trying to give you, you know, some background that they more pictured it like a vampire bite. I got to say that there were many parts in that movie, because it's a splatter fest and a horror fest, like when they go down into the sewers and that pack of zombies is sprinting towards them and they go up the stairs and the door is locked and the zombies come around the corner sprinting and then they stop. And they pause, and they're looking up the stairs at the survivors that are at the top of the stairs, and they've got nowhere else to go at this point. And, you know, you have to assume that there's hundreds of zombies following them. Little things like that left such a feeling of hopelessness as far as the survivors. You know, like if the Game of Thrones guys did that movie, that was the perfect ending. You know, it wasn't a good
ending. Did they go to the island?
It didn't end right. Like, you know, I feel like that is the part that leaves fans sort of like, this is horrible, but how are they going to solve the problem? The answer is they didn't solve the problem. You know, they sailed to an island, they thought that was solving the problem, and as soon as they show up, there's a pack of zombies sprinting at them on the docks. And if I was saying that they're both equally close, I would say the thing that put me over the top was the idea that that had a bad ending.
All right, so a good or bad ending?
Bad, meaning bad in that the heroes probably didn't survive.
I don't really show that, but
the heroes did not survive that encounter.
It made me happy.
It made you happy?
Yeah, I love nihilistic mean endings. And this movie wasn't afraid to get mean, and that made me happy. I mean, everybody dies in this movie. So I love that when that happens. And James Gunn makes mean stuff. Have you, like, Slither? That's mean.
So, yeah.
I know, So, all right, so you're convincing me about Dawn of the Dead, but you're saying that you didn't like the ending.
Well, I liked the ending in that I hated the ending. Do you get what I'm saying
Got it.
You know what I mean? Like, you want them to survive. They put up with this tremendous fight. They lost loved ones. They lost friends. And they think, we're going to make it. We made all these sacrifices. We took all these chances and we're going to make it. And they get to the island and, you know, the boat engine isn't working and they've got really no way to navigate on that water. And they think that they found a safe spot and they haven't. Cause that final scene where all those zombies are running through the forest and they're running down the dock after them, it's like they did not survive that.
Yeah.
There was just no way they could.
Done. Dunsky. I know. Now, I'll give you Dawn of the Dead, but if you tell me that, would you rather live long-term in a Dawn of the Dead world or Resident Evil world?
Resident Evil world.
You'd rather live long-term in a Resident Evil world?
Long-term in that if I had the powers that some of those zombies, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
they get the juice, they become, like, more powerful, and yeah, I could see that. Dawn of the Dead has no such out.
Oh,
there's no out. You're a human. You're going to be a human. There's no way that you can overcome what's coming at you. And that's why I would vote for Dawn of the Dead, the remake, to move forward. And I loved Resident Evil, but to me, that was like an action flick. And I just felt like it was cool. I loved the zombie genre, but I just felt like it was more action.
All right. You sold me. So we'll move Dawn of the Dead remake to the second round over Resident Evil.
Outstanding.
All right, you convinced me on that. So let's move to technically the second round, still first round, but let's get to it. So let's start with, I don't want to go back to this real so quick, so we're going to do Warm Bodies versus 28 Days Later. So 28 Days Later is one of my top 10 favorite films of all time. The Danny Boyle directed, Alex Garland, the guy who wrote Sunshine, the guy who directed Annihilation, he just did Devs this year. One of the most, I think, a brilliant writer wrote it. With Danny Boyle, I mean, I love the cast, Naomi Harris, Cillian Murphy. Then you have Brendan Gleeson, Christopher Eccleston, who's amazing. So we have a lot of Doctor Who's in this. Eccleston is in 28 Days Later. Capaldi's in World War Z. We're getting a lot of zombies. This is good. But so you have the 2002 28 Days Later versus Warm Bodies, which the 2013 film, which I love. And I think what it does a really good... I was researching some of this, and they actually went to a zombie specialist. So someone who works, knows all about zombie, the world. And so I was reading about what people thought about this, and these people loved it because it doesn't try to explain anything. In this world, you can be a zombie who can go back, come back to life, even if you've been shot 40 times, or you become a bony that is just a mean sucker that'll wipe you out. So you hold on to some intelligence, like the people at the airport. You can listen to vinyl still when you're a zombie. You know, you can be brought back by love. You can woo people. You just got to watch out for those bonies. Or you have the 28 Days Later, in air quote zombies, basically rage-infected things that can starve to death and will starve to death. But they spit blood, dude. A drop of blood from a crow dropping an eyeball lands in your eye. You're one of them. Almost immediately. It's a nightmare scenario. So I love Warm Bodies. But do you think that's more about a romance, I guess, between Teresa Palmer and Nicholas Hoult? And do you think, what are your thoughts on these two movies? Because I'm leaving 28 Days Later.
I'll start with Warm Bodies first. Warm Bodies, to me, it was a great movie, and I loved it. I want to preface this, my statement with that. It was a great movie. I loved it. It was fun to watch. All those things. Like, it was a good movie to watch and enjoy. But I felt like the whole zombie part of it, as far as, they basically took Romeo and Juliet and they did it with humans and zombies, not competing families. And I love that. It was great. However, 28 Days Later, my ranking is in the top two of my favorite zombie movies.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you that the way that they shot that movie, as far as when they changed how they were shooting, when the zombies were running and sprinting and attacking, and then you go to the more still and calm when it's a living person and they're unaffected by it yet. You were right when you said drop of blood in the eye. Almost, you got like 10 seconds. You're turning. The whole virus, the rage virus, to me, when we talk about which one of these zombie movies is most likely realistic, meaning
this one,
that
hands down, like, right?
This is the one. I mean, because this is the one. They modeled the rage virus after Ebola, which causes that internal and external bleeding. And if you think about how viruses work, viruses want to spread. They actively want to branch out and spread. And I felt like 28 Days Later did a really good job with the horror zombie portion of it. But I read this, and I don't know if you actually knew this or not. Did you ever hear of the movie Triffids?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, Garland's based it off of that, right?
Yeah. So he actually talks about how 28 Days Later was not really at the time intended to be a zombie movie, and that's how everybody viewed it, because they saw it as like these humans going after other humans, but a lot of the inspiration from that came from the Day of the Triffids.
Wow.
You know, that's where a lot of it was. So I feel like 28 Days Later is a great zombie movie without zombies.
Absolutely. And you know what's interesting is you could argue it both ways. So you and I are talking, right? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, listen, I was like, I get it's a rage virus, but it could fall under the zombie genre. I don't think I would be wrong. But your counter argument of just saying it's not really that, they're just infected with rage, it's a virus, so they're not zombies, you would be right too. So it's a weird argument. It's like Crazies, where the director, Breck Eisner, even George Romero, didn't think that they were zombies. They were just infected with Trixie. And so then they started letting loose their most innermost kind of desires. They became murderous or childlike. So they didn't think they were zombies, but you could still lump it in with zombies. Does that make sense? Am I, like...
No, I agree 100%, because, you know, when you think zombie apocalypse, except for Return of the Living Dead, which you were probably down to only maybe 100 zombies that were actually active at the time, 28 Days Later infected the entire country of England. Like, everybody got infected, you know? We're talking thousands and thousands. And when people think of zombie apocalypse, they don't think of 100 zombies. They think of thousands and millions of zombies throughout the United States. Mm-hmm. So I really like 28 Days Later, and I'm okay with calling it a zombie movie. It doesn't really have zombies in it.
Yeah, you're right. I'm glad we prefaced that. And Warm Bodies, it definitely has the zombies in it. And I appreciate that Warm Bodies did something new. I mean, Teresa Palmer was excellent. Nicholas Hoult was really good. I mean, I don't know. I like the different aspects of them. So you have, right? Don't you like how they have the bonies, and then you have the decent ones? They can kind of talk a little bit. He can says eat, you know, eat, and they're trying to protect her. I mean, it's just, you know, they're one of the few that can talk aside from the Return of the Living Dead. I also like how they can gain memories by eating brains. That's a crazy plot device. And so, all right, so this is tough for us, man, because we have a zombie movie without zombies, and then we have a movie based on a book that does an excellent job of just creating a different type. I mean, these are fictional fantasy creatures, so there's no hot and heavy rules. I mean, Romero didn't even have hot and heavy rules. They just kind of had a movie. So this is tough, man. Do we pick 20 Days Later, which is a great film, or Warm Bodies, which has a neat spin on zombies, a new mythos of zombies? I'm trying to talk myself out of this. This is tough.
Yeah, so what did you say about 28 Days Later? You would say that it's in your top 10 of movies of all time?
All time.
All time. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, so there's 9 movies right there. So I can't put it in my top 10. But having said that, it is probably my 28 Days Later is probably tied for second with Dawn or just behind it. So I would be okay with putting 28 Days Later forward without actually having zombies in it.
All right, let's do it. Let's move it all forward. Right. But we both want to say that Warm Bodies does a neat job with zombies.
Warm Bodies actually was one of those movies that you go and watch, and at the end you go, that was a really good movie.
Yeah, I own it. I love it. I like Rob Corddry in it. And I like at the end when they all team up. You got John Malkovich. Jeez Louise. Makes me happy. I almost shook, man. I almost gave it to Warm Bodies, but you got me on course. So we're going to stick with 28 Days Later, moving to the next round. Next.
Outstanding.
This one's tough too, but I think we'll come to the answer. Now, next we're going to have Train to Busan, right? I think one of the best, directed by Yong Sang-ho. I mean, featuring Sang-hwa, one of my favorite action movie characters ever. I love how he just beats the daylights out of zombies. I mean, the guy is awesome. And he holds a zombie against that thing while they're pushing on him. The dude's just a brick. Love that dude. So you got, okay, so you have Train to Busan, 2016 film, or Night of the Living Dead, 1968. Now, it would almost be sacrilege to move Train to Busan ahead of Night of the Living Dead. So, but what I will say is, what I like about, now let me ask you a question. Is the concept of Train to Busan better than the zombies? Because you have people on a speeding train and zombies on that train. It's a beautiful idea. So is the concept what makes the movie work, or is it the zombies that make the movie work, or is it the character? Does that make sense? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Like, what is it about? Like, in what way could Train to Busan upset Night of the Living Dead, 1968, Romero's classic?
So one of the things that we had talked about when we talked about we're going to do this podcast was inspiration. Like, if you look at all of the other zombie horror or even comedies, you know, if we got into even like Shaun of the Dead, which we'll talk about. But even that, I feel like everything really started from Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
The classic. And, you know, I look back at it now and I'm going to say that if we have a zombie apocalypse, those are the zombies I want us to have. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like the threat level was lower, they're slower, we can walk around them, we can get away from them. Train to Busan was much more 28 Days Later, much more like Dawn of the Dead remake. I really felt like when I watched Train to Busan, and I'm going to tell you that this was really close. When I watched Train to Busan, I really liked the characters. Mm-hmm. And I thought the characters were really well done in that. And no fault of its own, in Night of the Living Dead, you really only have like five characters that are being fleshed out during that movie. Mm-hmm. And I felt like Train to Busan, even if the actor that appeared in it only appeared for like a 2-minute scene, that actor was telling you a lot about, or that character in that movie was telling you a lot about their views on society, selflessness, you know, whether they were a good person or a bad person was revealed with that. My pick is definitely going to be Night of the Living Dead because of what it is inspired.
And Dwayne Jones,
also
too.
Also because Romero shot that on a budget that was unbelievably small.
Yeah.
Especially for today's standards. But did you know that it grossed over 263 times its budget?
Hugh is one of the biggest independent films of all time. Insane.
Yeah. And when you think about, like, hey, if a movie studio was guaranteed to make 263 times its budget back on what they spent into the movie, who wouldn't want to have that under them and have, like, sell that movie to the public?
I mean, I just love it. Just, you know what I think made it big, too, is rated PG. So kids went and watched it in 68.
Yeah.
And so,
and I'll tell you that I watched it and I was way too young to watch it because I would have, like, reoccurring nightmares at night of zombies trying to break into the house and you're trying to board up the doors and then they get through the first line. So you run up the stairs and you close that door and they get to the second line and then you're hiding in your room and they're banging on the door and it's like, it's never going to end. They're just going to get me. It's only a matter of time, you know? So I really felt like on such a limited budget that was like, it was a masterpiece.
And Dwayne Jones's characterization as Ben in 68. That was groundbreaking. It was controversial. It was
huge.
And Romero, you know what I love about Romero is he's like, yeah, I just cast Dwayne Jones because he was the best actor. Right? There's no backslapping. He wasn't like, look at me, look what I was doing during, you know, the civil rights movement, the late 60s, all this kind of change. He's like, yeah, I liked him as an actor. And so I show it to my students and they love it, man. They love him. And Barbara, listen, Barbara has not aged well.
No.
Johnny, I mean, she has not aged well, but the movie characterization and what it's inspired has. So I will say Train to Busan, I love the added wrinkle of they can't see when it's dark. It's a neat wrinkle. They just lose it. It's fun. And then I like, if they don't see you, they kind of become dormant. And also, why, if you're listening to this, so we did an episode about Train to Busan and my wife Megan and I talked about it where the Korean zombies, there's actually an MMA fighter called the Korean Zombie. He's a badass. But I digress. But yeah, so you got, I just love how committed they are. I think the Korean zombies are the best of all these zombies on here. All of them. Train to Busan has the most committed actors. And that's a big statement. But I'm telling you, man, the zombies in Train to Busan are perfect. I love them. I don't know what you think about that, though.
I found that movie, and it may not have been designed that way, but I found that movie fun.
Yeah.
And you know what made it fun for me was the characters in it that are trying to survive and the ways that they survive. Like, and one of the scenes that I like, I watched it unfold in front of me and my eyes started widening and I was like, what the crap, was when they get put in the cart. You know, they go through the crowd of survivors, they get put in the cart, and one of the survivors sees through the thing and starts to see the zombies on the other side and walks down. And as she's getting closer to the door, a guy's yelling, what are you doing? Get away from the door. Stop. Stop her. And then she opens it.
Yes.
And they flood. So all these survivors were like, we're safe. We're safe. We're safe. And while they were paying attention to the survivors that made their way into the next car, somebody went down and opened that door. And that's just classic horror. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that. I love it when people have been pushed to the edge and they make a decision that everybody in the theater goes, no, why are you doing that? Like, why would you open that door? But it happens. You know, I really, that was probably one of my favorite, like from that point on, for me, was really good.
All right. So we love Train to Busan, but we're given the round to Night of Living Dead.
Only if you agree with that.
I agree with that, 100%. I couldn't do anything.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Night of the Living Dead should move forward.
All right, so we got that moving forward. Now, we have Return of the Living Dead versus Shaun of the Dead. Edgar Wright's film that, I mean, Shaun of the Dead was just a kick in the pants of the zombie genre. I mean, it wasn't a massive blockbuster, the 2004 film directed by Edgar Wright, who's one of my favorite directors. I have this Mondo poster behind me at the World's End. I love this guy. But for me, this movie, right, the zombies do show some intelligence. When Bill Nighy becomes a zombie, he hates the music. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, and so they have some intelligence to them. You can domesticate them with shopping carts. You can play video games with them, so there's intelligence there. But I think the movie's more about like people becoming zombies on their phones, everyday zombies, and then just going to the pub every day, solving your problems. A man become like a man-child becoming a man. So I think the zombies are excellent in it, but it's more about the characters in the film. And they're still great, but up against Return of the Living Dead, which are brand new zombies. I mean, you hack them up, they're still alive. The arm's still moving. You burn them, they rain, you wake the dead things up. When the nuclear bomb goes off, it rains, that's going to get more people. So it's just, Shaun of the Dead is better characters, but I love the mythology of Return of the Living Dead. So that's my pitch for this matchup.
So this, I when I was looking at the brackets and I said, who's going to win this and how's this going to play out? You know, it's like you're doing college basketball and you're playing the brackets and you want to see who has the best bracket and how close you are to guessing where everything's going to fall. And I kind of saw this happening. I figured that Return was going to win and go against Shaun. This is going to sound horrible, but I thought Shaun of the Dead was actually a better movie.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But I thought the zombies in Return, I'm speaking from a biased opinion because Return is obviously my favorite zombie flick because it changed things. You know, like when Romero did Night of the Dead, he changed horror because he introduced this new threat, this zombie that was going to be this menace to mankind. And then when I felt like Return of the Living Dead took that and then like injected it with steroids.
Yeah.
I mean, sprinting, smart zombies that can use tactics like when they ambush the cops.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, that in and of itself, those zombies set the bar as far as I'm concerned, with like the most dangerous threat available. Having said that, I actually think Shaun of the Dead is a better movie, and I think Return of the Living Dead has better zombies.
This is tough because
I will say this too. The one thing I do like about Return, I do like their characters from the movie. My favorite is Spider. He was great in that movie.
Yeah, Spider's great.
I just liked how he was the most courageous person in that group.
Oh,
he was the one that was willing to sacrifice to help his friends, and he was the one that you know. Like when they run up the stairs and everybody runs away and he's holding the door and he's like, get back here, help me hold the door. Like that, he was my favorite character, and I thought that they did a really good job with all of their individual characters in Return. Shaun of the Dead has a very special place in my heart, though. I love Shaun of the Dead. I will tell you that I think Return should move forward, but if you decide that Shaun of the Dead is going to move forward, I'm not going to be that disappointed.
No, I mean, it's Return of the Living Dead. And I also love that John Russo, the guy who wrote Night of the Living Dead, wrote Return of the Living Dead. So we could be coming up to a massive final here, which I'm kind of maybe excited about. But yeah, I mean, listen, Shaun of the Dead is excellent. The way the zombies are used, I mean, just the humor in it. Just the everyday people becoming zombies. They beat up a zombie to, what, Don't Stop Me Now by Queen on cue.
That is amazing.
I mean, it's... But I think the mom turns into a zombie, and Shaun of the Dead gets mean too. I mean, Nick Frost dies, the mom becomes a zombie, and I like that it has guts. Shaun of the Dead, it definitely does.
Did you know that when they filmed that scene, that Simon Pegg actually had a hard time after the scene was over?
Well, I bet.
Yeah, like you know, he kind of had like a little bit of a teary breakdown because he was like, you know, when you're an actor and you're trying to get into the role, I imagine that he was imagining his own mother in that situation and how hard that decision would be made to, like, we all get it. Once you're bitten in your turn, it's not that person that you knew anymore, but still that's your loved one's face. Mm-hmm. That's their body, and that's hard to disassociate the two. And, you know, that's really one of the threats that the zombies cause to humans is that, you know, when your loved one gets bit, whatever series you're looking at, whether it be, you know, Walking Dead, whether it be Night of the Living Dead, whether it be the Dawn of the Dead remake, once you get bit, it's only a matter of time.
Only a matter. You're going to turn. And no matter, it's just slow and sad. I mean, remember Dawn of the Dead, the guy gets bit in the mall and they're taking around in the cart. It's just depressing. And the mom, that's what I love about Edgar Wright movies, man. He goes there. And yeah. Shaun of the Dead went there, and it deserves to be in this list, and it deserves to be in the zombie classics, but Return of the Living Dead's got to move on. I mean, and you know what I like about, well, we'll talk about it later. We still got more to talk about with Return of the Living Dead. So we're going to move that forward, where it's going to meet 28 days later in the first semifinal. But before we get to that, we have to decide a winner between the Dawn of the Dead remake and World War Z. So the Jim Sheridan-directed movie, big blockbuster worldwide, had a ton of production problems. Nothing. Okay, I just want to start by saying I've read World War Z twice. I adore that book. Yeah, the book. I adore it. I even listened to it once. It's nothing like the movie. In the movie, or in the book, it's slow-moving zombies, different stories all around the world. I mean, this movie does do a good job of globetrotting, and they kind of go to this investigative spirit, because that's what World War Z is about. This guy's investigating the patient zero of it all. But what I love about World War Z is it's just insane. I mean, these there's viruses, but we're going to call them zombie anyway because it's called World War Z. I love how they climb on top of each other. I love how they snap. I love the snapping zombie when he's in the WHO lab, the World Health Organization lab. The virus can spread so quickly, and that's terrifying. And they're just climbing over each other. They are looking, like, they're not looking to eat. They're looking to spread, and they don't want sick people. They don't want deformed people. It's this weird world that they created in this film. And I love Brad Pitt's Jerry, who just moves, always moving, move, 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 move. It's like that Clear and Present Danger scene where they're just move, move, move. So it's tough to go up against the Dawn of the Dead remake. And I know it's nothing like the book, but I like what they did with this movie. They found another angle into the zombie world that I like. And I like the plot too. It's an investigative thing. It's resourceful. There's no one making a final stand. And I love when Jerry just cuts off Segan's hand and then they become best friends in Jerusalem. Yeah. They become best buds. It makes me so happy. But yeah, he survives a plane crash. It's nuts. But yeah, I don't know. Does that do enough to get it past the Dawn of the Dead remake?
I liked World War Z as a movie, but that's the problem. I liked it. I didn't love it. I loved Dawn of the Dead, the remake. I thought it was thought it was a quicker film as far as, like, got to the plot point, got to where you needed to be in, and not that World War Z didn't do that.
That starts immediately, too.
Yeah, because, you know, that right from, like, the opening scenes where stuff is starting to go bad and Brad Pitt's trying to pick up on what's going on here. Like, he's trying to figure out and problem solve, but he doesn't know what the problem is yet. And as soon as he finds out what the problem is, now he's, like, doing some investigative work, and now he's tracking down trying to track down patient zero and try to figure this out.
That scene in the apartment block is nightmarish, though, when it's him and his family. Oh, yeah. And they stay with that family.
Oh, yeah. That's that's the kind of thing that zombie horror does. You know, you hole up somewhere and you hope you can survive and you know, kind of wait out the storm.
It's tough, right?
Yeah, you know, when I saw some of these head-to-heads, like, there was a couple where I was like, oh, this is an easy win, this is an easy win. And then when you start talking about it, you're like, it's not so cut and dry.
No.
It's not so, like, absolutely this one's the one. It's like, does it edge it out of the way and move forward? Or do we move, you know, I would say my opinion is Dawn. I would move Dawn forward. But if you talk me out of it, I'm not going to be disappointed.
If you ask me right now, Mark, which zombie movie would you watch? I would say I would do World War Z before Dawn of the Dead. But you love it, man, and you made a quick thing on this thing. You've done all the research, so I love Dawn of the Dead too. I love the Disturbed cover, the Get Up by Richard Cheese. Stereophonics, Have a Nice Day. I like the golfing scenes. I like that they're playing chess. I like Ving Rhames. You can't go wrong with him. So you know what? It pains me, but this is how I can rationalize moving Dawn of the Dead, the remake, over World War Z. When I think about World War Z, I think about Brad Pitt and Segan and the characters and the investigated. I don't really think much about the zombies. I do love the chattering zombie, but when I think about Dawn of the Dead, the remake, the chaos of the opening scene, people running around, the zombie baby, the big lady who gets stabbed in the eye, the father who dies and gets shot, Ving Rhames, like just the attack in the parking garage, how mean the final is with the woman getting sawn in half with a chainsaw and the mean ending. So, you know what? I'm going to give it all. Let's do it. Let's move Dawn of the Dead to the semifinal. Let's do it.
Outstanding.
All right, so how about this? Before we get into the semifinal, we'll take a quick break, and then when we come back, we will finish up the tournament. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Movies, Films, and Flicks. 10 films entered, 4 films remain. So we have Return of the Living Dead versus 28 Days Later. Oh, man. And then we have the Dawn of the Dead remake versus Night of the Living Dead. And that's pretty ironic. I love it. I love that. You know, Dawn of the Dead is my favorite zombie film, the original. I think it's a perfect movie. I love how it drains you. I love how it makes you exhausted. I love the biker attack. I love the idea of consumerism during hell. The beginning is just so mean. I love the behind-the-scene documentaries of it. It's beautiful. But that's why. But that, the reason we didn't add Dawn of the Dead is because it's in the same world as Night of the Living Dead. And you can't just do Dawn of the Dead. You got to do Night of the Living Dead. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. Cool. I'm glad you got that. Stretch it. But so what we're going to do is what did we just talk about? So Dawn of the Dead, we just talked about that. So we're going to talk about Return of the Living Dead versus 28 Days Later. So one other thing I like about 28 Days Later is Danny Boyle went out of his way to find athletes for the sprinters. And he got his inspiration from a woman he was dating who was a ballet artist and just her body control and the way that she could move and how strong she was. So in this movie, you have these, like, I'm saying zombies, they're virus infected, not really zombies, but just roll with me here. But I just love how it just, the virus just triggers this anger in them. And I think the visuals, right? So we have 20 Days Later versus Return of the Living Dead. For me, I mean, I think in the zombie world, the most iconic is probably Send More Cops or Brains, right? Or the dancing in the cemetery. I'm not going to go further into that. But you have those scenes. But in 28 Days Later, man, when they're running up the staircases and they come across Brendan Gleeson in the riot gear, or when Cillian Murphy goes into the church and that one thing wakes up and runs up the staircase, just the steps, and the end is extremely blank nigh to the ending of just like almost this Apocalypse Now journey. I mean, a lot of Alex Garland's movies are about journeys. So Annihilation, they travel into this... they travel into this bubble, and Sunshine that he wrote, they're going into, like, they're going to the sun, and madness happens there, and madness happens in Annihilation. Then you have the beach, the journey to the beach, and the madness that happens there. I mean, this all happens. Like, Cillian Murphy becomes this hunter, and the zombies aren't even really the bad guys, if you think about it. I love how grainy it looks. I mean, they filmed it on consumer-grade digital video cameras, and it's just so naturalistic, and Naomi Harris is so cool. And when that one guy gets bit, she just lights him up with that machete. I mean, we're talking brutal, brutal death. So how does Return of the Living Dead beat that, right?
So you know what? I felt like 28 Days Later turned, even though the zombies were a threat, I felt like, you know, when you were talking about the scene where the infected crash through and they're on top of Murphy and they go in to try to stop him and the guy gets bit and she literally, zero hesitation, chops him to pieces.
Destroys
right?
him.
And then you look at the end of the movie where one of my favorite scenes is where he uses the gun to release the infected that they've been keeping to see how long it'll take before they starve to death. Like, it turned some of the characters into, at the time, monsters. But they needed to be monsters to survive that. More so than the actual rage-inflicted zombies, they became darker as characters to survive in that world that this rage virus created. Yeah. And I really liked that. I really liked that idea of, you know, what steps they were going to do to take to survive. And where Return wins for me, always, not saying that I think 28 Days shouldn't go forward, but if I make an argument for Return, it's that when I watched 28 Days Later, it scared me. It scared me in that there was a lot of like quick, shocking surprises that startle you. In Return of the Living Dead, it was weird being trapped inside a cemetery where things have just crawled out of the ground and now they've got you surrounded and they're calling for more backup so that they can feast on these people's brains so that they can feel better. So when I first started this, I thought Return would probably make it into the finals. That was like how I saw the brackets going. But now that we've been talking about 28 Days Later, I think if 28 Days Later has a advantage over Return, I would say it's like what you were talking about, how they shot the footage and how they changed the way they shot the footage when the infected were on scene, because it created like a weird sort of like, I don't want to, like a stutter to their movement all the time. And that really, for whatever reason, freaked me out. So if you want 28 Days Later, because you've basically a couple times conceded to my pick, I pick Return of the Living Dead to go forward. But if you pick 28 Days Later, I absolutely agree with you.
I feel like that's, it's like zombie sacrilege. You have one of the OG creators of Night of the Living Dead. You have the Send More Cops, the Brains, the Punks. Spider, who's Oscar Munoz. I love that dude. Junior. Oh, man. Put it on me.
Do you know he was homeless when they shot that?
Wow.
Yeah. Like, I found that little piece of information out. Could you imagine being homeless and somebody walks up to you and says, hey, man, I'd like you to be in this movie. And you're like, yeah, I'm homeless. But sure, I'll do whatever you want. You know, like, yeah. And I don't know. Like, what's your thoughts on this? Like, if I said I want Return of the Living Dead to go forward, what would be your biggest argument for 28 Days Later to beat out that classic zombie horror movie?
I think it did something new, and it said something about society, and it made London streets empty, and it just, oh man, and it forged its own way, and just the zombies puking in people's faces. And just the Colonel Kurtz-esque thing where they go on a journey to the military and find out all of this going on. The shot at the end where they run out of the house, how beautiful that is. And when the guy gets ripped out of the car. Oh, man. Gosh, I can't do it. I won't pick. I can't do it. So
you won't pick. All right. So if it's that close for you and we don't really have a clear-cut winner, then I would argue that we should move Return forward.
All right, let's do it. Either way, we win, because they're both zombies.
Yeah, this is going to happen. Eventually, you're going to get, you know, it was hard choices to start out, and we knew that at the end, the final choice and that final round against those two movies is going to be really tough.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's do it. All right, we're moving it through. Return of the Living Dead is moving forward. So, we have Return of the Living Dead making it to the final, which I'm totally happy with, the 1985 classic, 92% rated. People love it. Let's do it. So, who meets it in the finals? The Dawn of the Dead remake or Night of the Living Dead? I almost feel like we shouldn't have added Night of the Living Dead in this, because you have to, though. It's OG. You can't not put it in the list. You're being saucy if you're leaving it out. But what's an argument for the Dawn of the Dead remake to beat Night of the Living Dead? Show it to younger kids?
No,
what do
I
they
don't
think?
Know.
So, let's say you don't give kids a history lesson in how important this movie is, right? And you just showed them both movies. Which one will kids enjoy? And when I mean kids, I mean college kids.
I feel like they would enjoy the Dawn of the Dead remake because of its action-packed. And I think that, you know, in Night of the Living Dead, when they decide that they're going to try to escape, they choose to go outside and confront those zombies to try to get the truck and try to get out of there. I don't feel like the Dawn of the Dead characters would have made that decision because the threat was so much greater. But having said that, when we talk about classic movies, you have to consider the fact that Night of the Living Dead started it all.
Yeah.
And it's so hard. I mean, because you could say the Dawn of the Dead zombies are better than the Night of the Living Dead zombies. Is it? It's easy to take somebody else's work, draw inspiration from it, and go and make a product that maybe is a little bit different. But to come up with that idea in the first place and to shoot it and kind of like change the way that we feel about horror and, you know, shooting it at night and on a really low budget. I love Dawn of the Dead remake. I love that movie. That movie was like, when I saw the trailer for it, I remember going, oh my God.
Yeah.
Having said that, Night of the Living Dead is such a classic, and it started it all. Like, if you think about our movies as zombies, Night of the Living Dead is patient zero.
Yeah.
Where the first bite happened, where the first zombie happened, and where the first, like, idea of, like, how do we deal with this really, really scary, creepy threat that's coming for us? Because if you and me had no prior knowledge, and we watched Night of the Living Dead for the very first time, we'd be scared by it.
Yeah.
But now that you've seen all these other horror movies that have drawn inspiration from it, and maybe they upped the ante a little bit here and there, or maybe they included something new, it all started with that classic Night of the Living Dead. And I will tell you that I watched that when I was way too young to watch that movie, and it psychologically scarred me. The concepts behind it, the scariness, the feeling of dread, the feeling of being trapped, and it's only a matter of time. Like, I love Dawn of the Dead movie, but I did not have that same feeling of terror and, like, impending doom and all those things that I had when I watched Night of the Living Dead the first time.
There's no
and
sense
how
of
was your reaction? Like, if you watched Night of the Living, the first time you ever saw Night of the Living Dead, how old were you when that happened?
Oh, incredibly young. And it scared the crap out of me.
Which one scared you more?
Oh, no, this.
All right? Only because, like, back then, we all thought Hollywood was real. But we think the story in there is real. And you know how they did, like, the news reports? And you get the idea, like, this is the footage from when that real incident happened. And, you know, they tried to recreate that in Dawn of the Dead. But we already knew what zombies were. Mm-hmm. You know, nowadays when you see a zombie flick, you know what zombies are. And yes, are they all a little bit different? Yes, some die when you shoot them enough. You got to shoot them in the head. Some you have to burn. But nobody knew that when Night of the Living Dead came out. Mm-hmm. And you only realized it from the character's trial and error in that movie. So I feel like if we move Night of the Living Dead forward, it's not because we thought the zombies were better than all the current day zombies. It's because that movie set the bar and gave the inspiration for everyone else to write what they needed to write.
Yeah, no, it absolutely moves forward. And I will say, though, so that's going to be the final, but I will say, though, that the Dawn of the Dead remake, when I saw it in that theater, so I was at my brother's graduation from the Air Force boot camp. So I drove out to Texas with some family to watch it, and I hung out with my cousin Johnny. We went and saw it, dude. I'm telling you, it feels like 1,000 people were in that theater, and it went bananas for the movie. So when I watched Night of the Living Dead, I felt exhausted with the way that Dwayne Jones is killed at the end. I mean, it's brutal. Then I watched Dawn of the Dead and how nihilistic that was. It left me tired. But this Dawn of the Dead made me feel exhilarated. So I don't want that for my zombie movie, I guess. So it was more commercial and more murdery. So I love it. It's great. But I can totally see why Night of the Living Dead moves ahead. So we're at our finals, huh?
Yeah, this is kind of what I dreaded, that final choice where we have to try to convince each other that the movie we're going to pick to win this bracket, this tournament of zombies, is not an easy choice.
No, it's not at all. And before we get to that, I want to share my 10 that long-term I wouldn't want to live in. So the easiest ones, I think, would be Shaun of the Dead. I bumped Night of the Living Dead ahead because we'll get to it, but you got Bub. You have Big Daddy and Land of the Dead, so they get smarter. So I don't see the Shaun of the Dead ones becoming like that. Then I have 28 Days Later because 28 Days Later, they in the long term, if you can survive, these things die out. World War Z, if you can get a vaccine, they won't attack you. Train to Busan, they're terrifying, but at night they become very docile. Warm bodies, maybe some can become good. You start team up. That's what happened in the movies. Then I have the Dawn of the Dead vast zombies because they stay fast, they stay strong. You're going to be worried about them for the rest of your life. But in Zombieland, which is number 3, the Zombieland zombies get smarter. So they become T-800s and ninjas. The Dawn of the Dead zombies won't do that. Then I have 2, Return of the Living Dead, because they're indestructible. And number 1 is Resident Evil, because of just, if you're a human only, and you don't have Alice with you, destroying folk, and you're dealing with a licker, or an Uber licker, or a Magini zombie, you're dead. Yeah, these things are huge and smart and will crush your skull. And they just keep evolving. And there keeps becoming more of them. And they seemingly move forever. Years, these things never stop. So I'm saying the world I don't want to live in long term the most with is the Resident Evil zombies. That's my ranking right there.
So I'll go a little bit in that. Long term, where I would most want to live, and then to least. I had it as a tie between Shaun of the Dead and Night of the Living Dead and the world that I want to live in. But I am going to talk a little bit about 28 Days Later and that why I think 28 Days Later is that raid zombies were more of a threat. And that comes down to the access to weapons. In England, they have very strict, no one's allowed to have a gun. Yeah. And I felt like in the United States, because those things weren't living dead, you could shoot them and kill them. And I feel like here in America, where everybody has a gun, I felt like that got bumped down, not because those zombies aren't dangerous and aren't scary and all that, but just because they're not zombies. They're not dead. So you can shoot them. They can starve to death. You know, I felt like that was pretty low on the scale. I kind of had a big tie here with Train to Busan, World War Z, Dawn of the Dead, you know, Zombieland. They were all kind of tied there because they all have a very similar zombie. Still can be killed, all right? You can still deal with them, but they're fast, and they pose their own unique problem. I actually had the Resident Evil and the Return of the Living Dead flipped, but only because in that situation, you could kill the Resident Evil zombies at some point. However, in Return of the Living Dead, that is a, and because they didn't really go into it in the movie, you don't know if their body can continue to hold up over a long period of time. So there are some unknowns. I just know those zombies, for me, was the world I would least like to live in because of all the things like they're intelligent, they have tactics, they can communicate, they're fast. They're obviously very durable because you have to either burn them to ash, which would be its problem in its own right. And then after I ranked them like that, I tried to think of, and I guess this is a question I posed to you. How do you deal with the zombies from Return of the Living Dead?
Be like Tilda Swinton in The Dead Don't Die. Just chop their heads off.
Yeah, I agree. Like, that's decapitate them and they're less of a threat, right?
Yeah, I mean, but I'm no samurai, so I'd be dead. But
yeah.
I just, and they know how to use weapons, they're smart, they're more powerful. I just don't want to deal with, okay, I'd rather get taken out by one of those because they're going after your brain. Some of those things in the Resident Evil thing, they're just scary, and I don't want to get killed by them. I'd rather get killed by a Return of the Living Dead zombie than one of these Resident Evil things. So that's why I take
it. Yeah, because fortunately, attacking your brain is like shutting off a light switch. You'd be dead pretty quickly, yeah. Where... And most of the other zombie genre, except for, you know, 28 days later, they're eating you and you're still alive.
Yep, exactly.
That's a problem.
Yep.
That's a problem. And I think that's like one of the things that people have the, you know, if you talk about like what is scary about zombies, it's not so much that they kill you because there's 1,000 monsters in all the horror movies, like aliens, like, you know, Freddy Krueger. You think of all the threats that exist in these movies. There's a lot of ways that you can get killed.
Yeah.
I forgot where I was going with this.
No, there's a lot of ways to be killed.
Return of the Living Dead is just one of those things where they're just so hard to deal with.
Yeah.
And because it's just.
No, I'm
and the worst part is, we know how to deal with those zombies, right? Like every zombie from every one of those movies, if that was the type of zombie that we're dealing with, we know how we could defeat them. The characters in those movies a lot of times figure out how to beat them. But nobody, even in Return of the Living Dead, their taking care of them was to nuke the entire city, which caused them to burn and go up. And, you know, they kind of allude to it that it started to rain and the president's going to visit the town. And, you know, there's some burning of the skin. And so I feel like all of these zombies we can deal with either through guns or whatever. But the Return of the Living Dead zombies... They're in a category all themselves because you can't kill them.
Yep. And I guess the one thing about these zombies are when they take your brain though, you don't spawn, correct? So when they
okay, so this is where there's some, remember how we talked sometimes movies aren't very consistent?
Yeah.
I believe that to be true. However, in two examples in that movie, oh gosh, I'm going to forget her name now. Trash.
Yeah, yeah.
After she's attacked by all those men, she comes back.
Yeah.
And the cop zombie in the scene where he's checking on the paramedics and he sees him approaching and he says, stop it, I'm going to blow your head off. He's the cop that's flagging down the other cops that pull up in their police cars where they get ambushed on that roadway. So it's a little inconsistent there in that whether they come back or not, because in the morgue that they're in, when the guy gets pulled through the window and the half lady bites his brain, he doesn't come back. And the guy, the punk rock guy at the bottom that first finds Tarman and Tarman kills him, he doesn't come back. So it's a little inconsistent on whether they come back or they don't come back.
What happens in the sequel? I haven't watched the sequel.
The sequel's okay, but I just didn't like it like you would the original.
Yeah.
And in the sequel, they killed them by electrocuting them, which it didn't make sense to me. So, you know, it was a horror movie. It had zombies in it, but the movie really didn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. All right. So let's not even worry about the sequel. Let's just stick with this first one here.
Yeah.
All right. So you're saying Night of the Living, you're saying Return of the Living Dead, and I'm saying Resident Evil. Either way, we're screwed.
Right. Yeah. Like none of those are good options.
None of them. None of these 10 are good.
No,
options.
No, none of these are good options.
All right. So let's make it to the final here, man. We have 1968's Night of the Living Dead, directed by George Romero. Then we have 1985's The Return of the Living Dead, directed by Dan O'Bannon, and the story by John A. Russo. He's responsible for this. I mean, Bannon knocked this out of the park. You know, Bannon, I mean, he also was one of the writers on Dark Star. He was one of the writers on Aliens. He was one of the writers, you know, like the guy, I mean, he came up with these characters. I mean, he wrote Screamer. He wrote the screenplay for Total Recall. I mean, this guy, Return of the Living Dead, I mean, he is a big name in this world. So you got Dan O'Bannon's, this is tough. Dan O'Bannon's, geez Louise, The Return of the Living Dead, or George A. Romero, who, you know, he and his buddy, who also created Night of the Living Dead, John A. Russo. Okay, it's family right here. It's the creators of Night of the Living Dead against each other.
Yeah, as it should be.
Yeah.
I mean, that's they got together and they did the first movie and they decided to branch off and give their own version of what the sequel of the original Night of the Living Dead should look like. You know, when I was a kid and I watched that, I was so amazed because I was like, I was scared because in Night of the Living Dead, they show them actually eating the intestines and they're pulling them out of the bodies and it's like gruesome and you're like, what is that about? Like, or when the truck catches on fire and they go in there and they kind of like barbecued the people in there. So now they're going in there and eating. When I did my research, did you know this, that some of the extras on Return of the Living Dead got paid extra to eat real calf brains?
Yeah, they were just nomenon stuff that was out there.
Yeah. And so in Night of the Living Dead, I actually found this out too. They, in the truck, when the zombies go in and they take something, they're starting to bite on it, and it looks like they're covered in blood. That was actually chocolate syrup and a ham that they were eating, which I think is great because in both of those movies, some of the extras actually ate stuff on scene for the movie.
I mean, it's Pittsburgh folk coming out, you know, supporting.
Yeah, yeah.
And so okay, I want to see. I love that fact. Some of that stuff that they're munching on, it's such a family atmosphere. Oh, it makes me happy.
And I remember thinking, like, that looks like real brains. Like, they must have done such a good job in the special effects department. And then years later, you find out, no, because they were eating real brains.
I was trying to look something up here. So we know that Return of the Living Dead had a $4 million budget. Now, that's 85. So let's say a $12 million budget. I'm trying to look up the Night of the Living Dead budget. And, I mean, obviously we would have to do inflation. Do you have any data on that, Night of the Living Dead? I just want to have
So the only thing that I had for Night of the Living Dead as far as data and ticket sales and how it did at the box office was when I mentioned that it made over 263 times its initial budget. I don't know what that initial budget is, but I guarantee that no other zombie movie is surpassed 263 times their starting budget.
So they're saying it was made for $114,000. So I mean, let's add some inflation on there, and that's probably, I mean, 68. Let's just say a million. That's probably more than we should. So we have $1 million. That's too much. Let's say 500,000, 600,000, and then we have the cost of that, probably like a $10 million, $8 million for so. Does it matter that Return of the Living Dead had, 17 years to become more refined? And that's what Night of the Living Dead created. So shooting during the week, not with not much money, you had a bunch of commercial people making this movie in the country of outside of Pittsburgh. But then you have the kind of more refined, I guess, Return of the Living Dead. It's still an indie picture. But, I mean, do you think that should sway our opinion at all?
I think it should, and I'll say the biggest argument here, like, either one of these guys takes it, I'm good with it. It doesn't really matter. But I think like in a zombie movie, when the virus or whatever is causing the zombies to come up, when it first starts, the characters don't know how to deal with them. You know, and they've usually learned throughout how, like, things that they can do, whether they can be tricked, whether they can be killed, whether they become made docile because it's dark, or, you know, all those factors. When you direct or write a zombie movie from here on out, you're always going to go back to that Night of the Living Dead. Mm-hmm. And that was really like the first one that started this whole thing. And I don't think not all zombie movies follow that to a T, but I think they all get some type of inspiration from Night of the Living Dead. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really feel like Night of the Living Dead is patient zero that bites a person that starts the zombie apocalypse. And every movie made after that is like that zombie virus spreading out into the population around it.
Man. All right. I'm going to take Night of the Living Dead. It's boring, but I do love Return of the Living Dead because these people don't know how to deal with this. Kill the brain. Oh, we killed the brain. Now it's not doing anything. That wasn't effective. So what do we do now? And then it rains and let's cremate the body. That's the right thing to do. And then it rains and then that happens. And then the punks. But Dwayne Jones.
Yeah, I want to try to. I'm actually going to. So you think Night of the Living Dead should win the tournament? I am actually, even though when I originally did this bracket, I saw Return of the Living Dead beating it all, you know, beating them all and going into the finals and winning the finals because of what it did for me. But I will tell you this. When I watched Return of the Living Dead, that the horror, the scariness of it, you know what a lot of that came from? It came from the fact that I had already watched Night of the Living Dead, and I had made up my mind that we can survive this. You know, like we know what zombies are made up of. And then Return of the Living Dead flips that on us and says, nope, headshots don't work anymore. But having said that, I can't come up with enough reasons where I think you're wrong with Night of the Living Dead going forward.
You know, normally I'm all for a like sexy pick. You know how you sometimes when you look at your March Madness bracket or your sports brackets, or you and I, like, I think you and I both watch MMA. Sometimes you want to make that sexy pick. And I just can't. So I'm saying that Return of the Living Dead is the sexy pick here, as opposed to the classic Night of the Living Dead. But I just can't pick that. I can't come up with enough reasons to put it ahead of Night of the Living Dead.
And I, you know, if it was, say we weren't having this conversation and somebody said, hey, what's your favorite zombie movie? You know, I would probably say my favorite zombie movie is Return of the Living Dead because of the effect that it had on me. But I will say that the reason that it I already discussed this a little bit, but it really started from me first watching that Night of the Living Dead to get a fear of zombies, like to instill that first fear of like, I know what a zombie is. They're scary. I don't like them. They can kill you, blah, blah, blah. All of that came from Night of the Living Dead started that whole thing. Had I never watched any zombie movies before I watched Return of the Living Dead, I don't think Return of the Living Dead would have had the impact on me back then that it had I not seen the original movie.
Yeah. Just with Dwayne Jones, they're coming to get you, Barbara. The girl killing the mom with a trowel, which is beautiful. They call that back in Cabin in the Woods. The end, that's just a complete gut shot. The news reports. It's boring, but I'm happy with it, man. I'm happy to put Night of the Living Dead as a champion here.
And I am too. I felt like, you know, it's like when you're winning a prize and they're like, you can either get this brand new car or $10,000 cash. Both of those are good options. Yeah. You know, getting a new car is great. Getting $10,000 of cash is great. But sometimes, like, you look at it and that car might be worth more than $10,000. But the cash is cash in the hand, and that's how I see Night of the Living Dead. Like, it's cash in the hand. It's got all of the classic things that you want. It was, you know, shooting at night and, you know, some of the makeup and special effects stuff that they did for then. The character-driven part of it, you know, as far as, like, how those characters interacted and the different things that they did with it, you know, it's like, I just can't talk you out of I can talk you out of Night of the Living Dead. And if I can't talk you out of it, does Return deserve to win? And I'm like, probably not. Probably not.
It's just I can spin a good yarn. I can make cases for movies that people are like, oh, wow, that makes sense. But if someone said, Mark, tell me why Return of the Living Dead is better than Night of the Living Dead, I don't think I could believably do it. So it would be a half-hearted attempt. But yeah, I mean, this is, listen, we didn't pick the sexy pick, but you take this thing in your bracket, you're going to win. And so, I mean, you got, it's, you know, I don't think I'm even picking it just because it's the original pick. I know there are zombie movies before it, but I mean, just the, I think it's still relevant. I think some of the themes are still relevant today. I think it's still scary today. I still think it pushes boundaries. I mean, in 68, you had the naked zombie that was running around. You had the carnivores. You had just people eating flesh, figuring out the situation. Just the beginning and the car. And I mean, listen, yeah, Barbara is an interesting character. But I mean, when Ben slaps her, I mean, that was like the slap heard around the world. My students went, whoa, when they saw that. So I'm not just giving it to it because it's the original. I'm giving it to it because it was daring and it was gutsy and it still holds up too. So no, I'm happy. This is good.
Yeah, I can't complain. I you know, there were some of those movies that I picked and I was like, if this one wins, I'll be really disappointed. I felt like even our final four was hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you talking about the finals being hard? Even the final four was hard, and that's a like a testament to the zombie horror genre, because it's just like, it's one of those things that maybe some people don't freak out. Like, I don't get freaked out about vampire movies. You could show me the scariest vampire movie ever made, and I would be like, oh, that was a cool movie. It was interesting how it happened in it. But, like, zombie movies have always had a weird place for me, where they've always kind of, like, touch that part of your brain that starts to release adrenaline and gets you that sort of like, I'm fearful now.
Everywhere you go, how would I fortify this?
I'm in
a Home Depot. How would I do this? I'm in a Sprout. How would zombies? I still think that today. It's so ingrained in me. By the way, have you watched 30 Days of Night?
I have.
Oh, okay. What do you think about the mean vampires in that one?
So I love 30 Days of Night. I felt like that movie was a different take on vampires, and I feel like any time that you do something different with a known monster, and it's different in that, like, when he takes the syringe out and injects himself, yeah, and his only solution to beating them is becoming one of them, and, like, that was just cool, man. That movie was just... That was a cool, and it ended sad. I mean, because he knows that if he doesn't get destroyed, he's going to be a monster like them. And he just sits there and watches the sun rise up. But I felt like those vampires and the way they did that movie, that was an awesome take on vampires.
All right, I'm happy to hear that. I mean, you're right. I don't think it's scary, but there's some scenes in there that are just so mean. And
yeah,
for me, the things that linger in my memory are the mean moments. So there's a movie called I Saw the Devil. It's a Korean movie that punched me in the face. There's a Korean movie called Thirst. It's a zombie film that destroyed me because how mean and how deep it takes you into the trenches. So for me, you know, Night of the Living Dead, the ending sticks with me, the meanness of it all. And just what happens to Brendan Gleeson's eye. The one problem with 28 Days Later is when they drive over all those cars. I didn't really get that scene. But other than that, yeah. I mean, it's, but yeah, we picked the right winner, man. But hey, well, thanks for joining me, dude. This was awesome. I mean,
Yeah, man, anytime. Like, I love talking about, like, I only watch a certain amount of movies that, you know, I really take an interest in. And honestly, a little confession here. The reason I'm so interested in zombies now and zombie movies is because as a kid, they scared me so much. Like, I couldn't describe even, like, even as a kid, vampire movies didn't scare me. I thought they were cool. I thought vampires were, you know, they were a monster, but I didn't fear them the way I did zombies. And there was just something about a rotting corpse trying to eat you. It got something primal inside my brain that has always affected me. And so I really love the zombies horror movie, but I also love all other kinds of movies, and I take an interest in them. And I like, I had a lot of fun researching, like, little known facts about each of those movies, because sometimes you're like, wow, really? Like, I had no idea. You know, and it's interesting. It's interesting to be a fan of movies and find out sometimes that stuff doesn't always go right when they're making those movies.
Well, we should tackle maybe the Dawn of the Dead remake, or 28 Days Later, or World War Z next. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Any one of those. I mean, If you really want to do one, you know, I would say Dawn of the Dead remake would be really fun.
All right, let's do it.
Because it's a remake of a classic zombie, you know? Like, usually you do sequels, and it's like, oh, this is the next movie in that line, and this is the next movie. This was a remake of already what's considered, you know, Romero's works are always considered, like, cutting edge for the time. They created the zombie genre. They created these ideas of hopelessness and pending doom and how we deal with them. But, like, Dawn of the Dead is just a really, really fun, scary movie. And that's why I like it so much. The remake is because it's a fun, scary movie.
All right, we'll do that next.
All right.
All right, well, thank you for joining me.
All right, man. Pleasure. Anytime.
This is awesome. So for me, Mark Hoffmeyer, for Doug Bradman, this is Movies, Films, and Flicks. We'll see you next week.